Isaac. Okay. So today the goal is primarily we're going to be focusing on the Machlokas HaRishonim, the Ran and the Gra and the Mariach and the like. So we'll have to get down into the nitty-gritty of that in just a couple minutes, going through the Gemaras. And seeing how we pass in the Misa, just one or two quick Hosafos from yesterday. Number one is we started off yesterday when we read the Toras Kohanim. It says among the things that are aser is timchor, and I mentioned I don't know how to translate that word, but contextually we thought what it meant. So the Ravid has a girsa not of timchor but tinkor. And he says what it means is it means to beautify yourself, like looking at a mirror and maybe tinkor, like from cleaning. I don't know. But anyway, that's exactly what we assumed it meant from context. So the Ravid actually says it explicitly. So we mentioned yesterday we were translating the word nemusos in the Toras Kohanim, but what exactly is so one of the things you see from the Beis Yosef in the Kuf Ayin. Ches is that nemusos he translates as minhagim. In other words, when the Torah says not only are practices that are rooted in superstition aser, but even minhagim and the Beis Yosef and the Gra says as well, that's from the drasha of the Toras Kohanim that says that nemusim are aser. So those are just two points. Okay, so. Also, I have one other Hosafa, which we saw the Rambam's focus on clothing. And we noted, even in the Kotaret, in terms of defining the mitzvah, he included the importance of dressing Jewish or not dressing in a non-Jewish way. He quotes the Pasuk in Zephaniah. So in terms of the source in Chazal for this, so the Gra also says that's from the Sifrei, and the Sifrei lists a bunch of things. One of them was Argamon, and there were two other things, which we weren't sure also exactly what they were referring to. But the Gra writes, these are Kulan Malbushim. And the other additional source that we're going to see today, we're going to work on, that's where we might see the basis of the Rambam in terms of avoiding non-Jewish dress, is the Sugya in Sanhedrin on Daf Ayin Daled of Arachta the Misana. The Gemara over there says briefly that tells you what the Yehargal Yavor, of course, the big three. And then it says, if it's Farhesya, even something minor, and an example of that is Arachta Masana, and likewise, if it's Shas HaShmat, even something minor, Arachta Masana. So the question is, what's so bad about Arachta Masana? Rashi says it was a minhag. The Jewish people wore different types of shoelaces than the Goyim, and that this was a minhag of tzniyos. We'll get back to Rashi in a moment, but the Rif seems to indicate that the Isser is Chukuzakum. In other words, this is not one of the big three, but if, again, let's say the non-Jewish persecutor says, you better wear these Goyish shoelaces or else I'll kill you. So what Isser is being violated? So the Rif, as well as a number of other Rishonim, indicate that the Isser is Chukuzakum. To wear these shoes or shoelaces would be a violation of Chukuzakum. So that might tell us that dressing Jewish is very important, or at the very least, dressing in a Goyish way is a violation of Chukuzakum. The Rif writes that the reason why we had different shoelaces, in addition to saying that would be to wear the Goyish shoelaces would be also because Chukuzakum, the Rif also says that, well, what's the difference? The Jewish shoelaces were black as opposed to the Goyish shoelaces that are red. The Marik says, oh, well, that's because red is pritzah stick. So Rashi said that this was an inyan of tznius. The Rif is not explicit that it has anything to do with tznius, but the Marik says, well, why? How did the Rif know that the guy wore red shoelaces? So rather than saying anything about red shoelaces, it's just something different. So the Ma'arik assumes that even the Rif is rooted in in Tzlius. We'll get back to that a little bit later. The Gra points out that the Aruch also learns this way, like the Rif, meaning to say that to wear the Gaya shoelaces would be a violation for Gazakum. And what's interesting is that the Aruch himself, though, has a slightly different reason why we wore Jewish black shoelaces. He says because black is avelos for the Charban. So the Gra probably understood that the reason why we wore black, let's say, and not white, was because of avelos for the Charban. But the reason why we needed different shoelaces in the first place was because it would otherwise be chukos ha'akum. Okay, so those are just some minor hosafos from yesterday, and now we'll turn to today's sugya. Yeah.
Just on the rift. Assuming that it's chukos ha'akum. Just a suggestion, maybe. I don't know. Could it be that he's also putting chukos ha'akum a little bit of stress in malpish, maybe?
Like yes. Yeah.
For the Rambam. Could it be that there's also a diakon effect from our stuff about a mitzvah kala? Maybe there's like some sort of an asifo.
Okay, I hear. Interesting. There's an interesting question over there. Now beyond the... It's still... Right, it's asay tov. It's not a mitzvah asay.
No, not a mitzvah kala.
But yes, I hear. Now, there's actually a big discussion whether a mitzvah asay could ever be a harig bel yavor. The Ramban, for example, chops it, seems clearly not. And then he's bothered by the fact of tefillin and the like, and he derives an important principle for that. But okay, I hear what you're saying. Either way, though, that's another place where we see in Chazal the emphasis on clothing. Okay, so
question.
Yes,
I thought
this is, by the way, Moshe Siegel. But we can't hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, I thought the problem of not the big three is when it's done by Farhesia, but also the intention of the persecutor is in other words, if he wants you to wear red shoelaces because of some other, from practical reason, not because it's against the law.
Yeah, that's an ichanami.
Yeah, okay, so.
That's true. But still, it has to be a violation, according to the Rif at the very least, a violation of an Isser. In other words, and what Isser is that? It's chukos ha'akum. That's what's relevant. Mm-hmm. In other words, there needs to be lavir la das, but not a violation of a lav is insufficient.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be a lav. Okay. So now for today's topic. So one, the Iker, I think almost all the practical questions of chukos ha'akum, or most of them, really emerge from how you relate or resolve the seeming contradiction between the Gemara of Avzara and the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Why is it a seeming contradiction? So to oversimplify, and we're not going to oversimplify too long, but just to get into the things, to oversimplify, so the Gemara of Avodah Zarah indicates that the reason why it's mutter to, let's say, burn the property, the kelim of the king, or the nasi after he's died, is chashivusayim, it's in order to show them respect and honor. We're telling them, we're showing that this king is irreplaceable by burning his bed. And that's why it's mutter. It does happen to be that there's a pasuk where we see that they burnt the Navi. Yirmiyahu tells Tzidkiyahu, don't worry, we're good, you know, even though Eretz Yisrael can be conquered, but at least you'll be put to rest in a respectful way and they'll even burn your bed. So we see that Jews did it, but that's not the reason why it's mutter. The reason why it's mutter, it sounds like, is because it's chashivusayu, because it's chashuv. And that might indicate on its own that anytime we have some type of explanation for a ritual, it's going to be okay. It's not going to be a violation of Zakum. The Gemara Navot in Sanhedrin has a very different implication, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin sounds like there it's talking about the proper way to kill by Sayef. And it also invokes the Gemara and the discussion of burning the bed, burning the king's kelim. And it says, well, the reason why that's mutter is because it's in the Torah, because there's a pasuk that says they did it. And likewise, the reason why, at least for the Chachamim, it's not a violation of chukos ha'akum to kill using a sword, even though that's the way the Goyim kill as well, is because there's a pasuk, an allusion to that, in the Sugibir Anidachas, where the Parsha mentions Cherev. So the simple reading of that Gemara is that for it to be mutter, we need a pasuk, and a reason isn't enough. And so, more or less, the various schools of thought that we're going to see come down to this question. Is the Iker Sugya going to be the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in which case we're going to say that basically it's only going to be mutter if we have a pasuk? Or is the Iker Sugya going to be in Avodah Zarah, and in which case we're going to conclude that it's mutter anytime there's a reason? But it's not so simple.
We don't do cremation.
Okay, so now let's take Zach. Did you want to add something? Sorry, I didn't catch it.
I said that when the person dies, we don't burn the body.
Exactly. Okay, so let's take a look. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah. So, Daf Yud Aleph. So, the Gemara says, "Vatani Yosefna Malachim VeLo Midarkei Amori VeYichuka Hi Anan Heichi Sarfinan VaKsev Ukosem Lo Seilechu." Note, by the way, that the Gemara assumes that Darkei Hamori is a violation of Uvuchu Koseim Lo Seilechu, an issue we brought up yesterday. Ela Dekuli Alma Sreif Alav Chukahi, Ela Chashivusahi. And the Gemara says there's a different machlokes over here in terms of the machlokes in Remer and Chacham. So it's mutter because of Chashivusa. So take a look at, we'll start with Tosfos, and then we'll do with the run over here. So take a look at Tosfos. Tema, my kaparech, dilma liolam chukahi, v'kem deksiva be'oraisa, lo gamrinan minayu. Dehachi amrinam perkar b'misos, gabi mitzvas anheragin, the Rabbanon Amri Besayef, Kedusha Machosos, Rabbi Yehuda Savar the Kofitz, Vitania Amalam Rabbi Yehuda Lachanin Yodani Shamisam Nuvelas Hizu, Ella Maese Share Amr Torah Uchosem Loseilechu Amulo, Kevin Dechsev Hariga Beraisa Anan Lo Gamina Minayu, Tilao Tema Achi Ha De Tania Sarfinal Malachim Velo Mida Kemori Anan Hechi Sarfinan Ella Kevin Dechsev Beraisa Lav Anan Minayu Ka Gaminan. Hachanami v'chulei. Imkein, my parich. So, the Ran also, Tosfos also assumes, he starts off with the assumption, I think the simple reading of this Gemara of Avodah Zarah, that chashivusayhu is a reason why it's mutter. And as we noted, that seems to contradict the simple reading of the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So, we'll skip three lines. Lekach pirishri, detrei gavni chuka havu. Echad she'osin l'shem chok l'avodas kol chavim. Ve'echad she'osin l'shem das hevel l'shtos shalem. So the answer is that we have to say there's two categories of things that they do, and things that could be violated, be violations of chukos akam. One are chukim that they do l'shem avodah zarah, and that's asur. And as we're going to see in a second, that's asur across the board, no matter what. It's also, even if we're not doing it l'shem avodah zarah, we might be doing it totally unrelated to avodah zarah, but when they do it l'shem avodah zarah. And if that's aser, if that's the case, then it's aser no matter what. In other words, even if, we'll see, there's a pasuk, that doesn't mean that if there's a pasuk, you know, there's a pasuk to bring karbanos to daven, we're not going to, and Gayim also bring karbanos l'shem avodah zarah and daven l'shem avodah zarah mitzvah aser. But it means even if those are different, because there's a mitzvah, Torah says you have to do this. But if there's a pasuk indicating that this is an appropriate practice, not a mitzvah to do, but an appropriate practice, but they have now co-opted this practice and do it l'shem avodah zarah, then we are absolutely restricted. The second category or things that they don't do, l'shem avodah zarah. So why do they do it? Answer, they do it for narishkeit, l'shem das hevel v'shtush shalahem. Now, that is going to be the second category. That's going to be sarfan al malachah. And therefore, the difference, as he's going to explain, is if the first category, even if you had a pasuk, aser. If it's a second category, stupidity. So then, if there's a pasuk, it's mutter. No pasuk, it's aser. So therefore, the Gemaras are very, very clear. The Gemara, it's not enough that there's a reason why they burn al hamalachah. Because that's stupid. So what do we need to make it mutter? A pasuk. Is a pasuk alone enough? No, a pasuk is only enough if it's not something that anyway they do l'shem avodah zarah. So in this resolution, he's now resolved the two sugyas. What's very important to understand is a couple of things. First of all, he's reread the Gemara in avodah zarah. When the Gemara says chashivusa, it's not telling you that's the reason why it's mutter. Don't say, oh, why is it mutter to burn the beds? Because they're doing it to show kavod. This king is irreplaceable. That alone isn't enough. You need the pasuk. So chashivus is not a reason to be matir, like we'll see the way the Ran reads the Gemara, but rather chashivusa is descriptive. It's telling you. It happens to be. Well, why do they do it? Right? It's not because of Zara. They do it to show chashivas. It's descriptive, but it's not telling you the reason why it's mutter. You'd still, and you know, it's still hevel the shtus, right? Now, so what he's telling us is that, we'll see, as opposed to, let's say like this. If we follow the view, again, I know I'm jumping ahead, but if we follow the view of the Rama, Maharik, Ran, for now I'm putting them together, though all three of them are actually different, as we'll see, but for now we'll put them together. So I believe that there are three categories of things that were, I guess, four, if you want to include avodah zarah. Let's leave aside things, leave aside that. There are three categories. Category number one is things that are practical. Even though the Gra doesn't spell this out in his explanation over here, clearly that's mutter, and the earlier Gras indicate that. And as we saw also from the Tars Kohanim, I would have thought maybe you can't build houses, you can't plant orchards. No, of course, those things are mutter. So anything that has a practical utility is certainly mutter. That's category one. The Isser of Chukos Akum relates to the ritual realm. And according to the, the Ran's approach, that school of thought, so we could divide in the ritual realm into two categories. One category is pointless things. The other is rituals which can be explained. According to the Ran and that school of thought, rituals that could be explained are mutter. Rituals that can't be explained are aser. Why are they aser? That's where the Ran and the Marik are a little bit different. As we'll see, the Ran says, we'll assume that any rituals that can't be explained must be rooted in idolatry. We don't know that rooting. We have no idea why they do it. We don't know that they do it for Zara. But if they're going to do this thing, and there's no reason that we could come up with, so why are they doing it? Presumably, it's associated with the whole Zara. Okay? And that's what's aser. And if there is an explanation for it, so then it's not rooted in Avodah Zarah, and therefore it's mutter. And that's because the way the Ran learns, as we noted yesterday, is that the Isser of Chukos Akum is basically telling us things that are connected, non-Jewish rituals that are connected to Avodah Zarah are Aser. If there's a known connection to Avodah Zarah, it goes without saying that it's Aser. We call that category four. Nobody talks. Category one, as everybody agrees, aser, mutter, right? Practical. Category four, known association with avodah zarah, everybody agrees, is aser. The question is category two and three. So what are two and three for the Ran? Category two is no explanation for it. and Osir, because we will presume there must be an association to Avodah Zarah. Why else would they do this? There's no reason for it. So it must be associated with Avodah Zarah, and therefore it's Osir. Because to be Osir al Tzulkas Akum, you need an association with Avodah Zarah. Zehu Shitas Harav. And therefore, anytime you can give some explanation for it, so then won't be Osir al Tzulkas Akum. So burning the beds, we can give an explanation. Chashivusa. So it's not Osir at all. That is the round school thought. Tosfos does not like this categorization. Tosfos says, no, that even if there is an explanation we could give for this ritual, still it is Osir. And it's Osir because they're doing it L'shem das hevel v'shtush shalahem. And it's only going to be mutter if it's practical. In other words, ritual, even with a reason, is still begader hevel v'shtush shalahem. And that's, again, where the Ran comes out very differently. The Ran says, no. If there's a practical utility to the ritual, I shouldn't say practical, because that's category one. If there's a explanation for the ritual, it's mutter. Practical is mutter. Ritual without explanation is asur. Ritual with explanation is the machlokas between, for now we'll just call it, the Tosfos and the Ran. So that's, so Tosfos, explanation isn't enough. Explanation isn't enough. And then, so again, so for the two categories according to Tosfos, it's what? There's ritual without a pasuk, and ritual with a pasuk. Ritual without a pasuk is asur regardless, even with no association to Avodah Zarah. Ritual with a pasuk is mutter. And if it's connected to Avodah Zarah, then it's asur even with a pasuk. And how could it be that it's, you know, the Torah matired it and we're coming to asur it? Well, you shouldn't be surprised, because we find the same thing with Matseva. Matseva was something that was once a huva bimei avos. And once the Goyim co-opted it for idolatry, so then it became Snua Bimei Abamim. Okay, so that is.
May I ask a question?
Yeah,
I'm. It seems to me in between having a practical purpose and being, shtus, you might have something which has maybe historical explanation, and it's not practical in the sense that you'll get a benefit over doing. Let me think, give a specific example.
Let's get to examples. Let's get to everything later. Now, Okay. So we read Tosfos inside. And again, if you want to see the Ran inside, it's on base. I'm a base, but not be a riff. Very short. Let's just read it inside. Now, the Ran, what's important here is he, unlike Tosfos, he doesn't actually raise the stira in the two sugyas. He's just explaining the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, which leaves us wondering how is he going to explain this sugya in Sanhedrin. But let's just read the round together. So, Eina Medarkei Amori Lachosh Lo Sazli Kamaseim Lefi Shelo Asra Torah Elachuko Shel Avodas Kol Chavim Elu Dvarim Shel Havel V'Kulon Yesh Bahan Either Tzorech Avodas Kol Chavim or Srach Avodas Kol Chavim Aval Dvarim Shel Tam Sharu Uvisreifas Hamalachim. Taima ikka, right? So what do we need to make it mutter? Taima. If there's tam, it's mutter. If there's no tam, it has presumably srach shel avodah zarah, and therefore it is asur. Okay, yeah.
Does the Ran understand the pasuk that's brought in?
That's the million-dollar question. For that reason, the Gra writes that the Ran is wrong. It's not the pasuk, but it's the analysis, and we'll see shortly. And we're going to try to answer that question. We'll see five answers to that question, but it's the fact that we're going to need five answers highlights the difficulty. And the Gra thinks all five of those answers are shtuyot, and as you'll see, he's going to distinguish between the Gra and the Ma'arik. I mean, the Ma'arik and the Ran. He's going to say this Ran in Avodah Zarah is wrong. It's indefensible. Flat out wrong. The Ma'arik is doichak. It's incorrect halachically, but at least the Gra is going to say, we could figure out a way how we could read the Gemara in Sanhedrin. It's not a good way to read, So, but there's a Shvach reading of the Gemara in Sanhedrin for the Maariv. For the Ran, there's a zero reading. And that is what leads some to just jump ahead, like the Maharam Shik, to say, you know what? The Ran will have to say it's a stir and sugyos. It's a machlokas between the two Gemaras, like we sort of started off. Two Gemaras have different implications. You know, the Balia Tosfos Kedarkam introduce a chiluk to be miyashev both sugyos. So we could say both sugyos are taka liba de hilchasa. But the Ran, the Gra's right. There's no way to read the Gemara in Sanhedrin according to the Ran. He's right. So what the Ran going to say? The Ran will say, okay, it's a stir and sugyos. And we're going to paskin like the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Ritva Agav in Avodah Zarah also says it's a seer and sugyos. He just thinks that you should paskin like this against Sanhedrin. But that's the answer might be there is no answer. Now, it could be, why don't we ask the Ran how he read the sugya in Sanhedrin, right? So as we noted, the Ran in Avodah Zarah doesn't do anything, but the Ran in Sanhedrin does in the Chidushi Aran. The Gra doesn't quote it. I don't know, maybe the Gra didn't have the Chidush Aran in Sanhedrin. And this is what leads me to believe, assuming that the Chidush Aran and the Ran HaRef are the same people, that the Ran didn't think it was a steer and sugyos. We might not like how he answers the question, but the Ran in the Chidush Aran in Sanhedrin does address, tells you how to read, maybe. I mean, he doesn't say this sukkah will leave with the helchasa. We'll put it that way. So we'll try to see in just one moment how he answers it. Yeah.
Let me say that there's four categories of the Ram. What's the third category again?
So category one is practical. Everybody agrees it's mutter. Category four are practices with known idolatrous connections. Everybody agrees it's aser. According to Tosos, it's aser even with a pasuk. According to the Ran, there's no reason, it might be it's mutter with the pasuk. We don't know what the Ran would say about category four with the pasuk. But certainly if there's a known association with idolatry, it's aser. Category two and three exist for the Ran, and may this distinction doesn't really exist for Tosfos. Category two and three are both rituals, right? One isn't a ritual. Category two and three are both rituals. Category two is rituals with an explanation. They're still rituals. It's not practical. It's rituals with an explanation, like Sarfan al-Malachim. And therefore, since there's an explanation with the ritual, we don't have to assume there's any association with idolatry. And category three are rituals without explanation. Everybody agrees rituals without explanation is usher. The debate is going to be a category two, rituals with explanation. According to Tosos, still aser, asiyah l'pasuk. And according to Ran, mutter, because of the explanation. Now, Marik, just to actually jump ahead a little bit, agrees to that, those categorizations that the Ran holds up, namely the difference between two and three, rituals with explanation and rituals without explanation. But he says the reason for the isser of rituals without explanation is different. Why is rituals without explanation different according to the Ran? What did he say? Srach Avodah Zarah. In other words, the gedir of the isser is association with Avodah Zarah. And therefore, we're going to presume anything without explanation is Srach Avodah Zarah. We don't know. Maybe it's not. But we're going to make that presumption, and therefore it's an isser. The Marik says, no, it's a little different. You don't necessarily need association with Avodah Zarah to be in violation of the Isser, like the Ran says. Rather, once there is no explanation, then it's clear and obvious why we are doing this. Why are we doing this? To copy them, right? Why else would we do it? No other explanation. Must be copying. And that's why it's Isser. We're showing them chashivos. We are, and that's the issue. So the Marik and the Ran both disagree with Tosfos. Both hold there is this distinction between category two and three. The difference is, why is category three aser? Ran says category three is aser because of Srach Avodah Zarah. Marik says it's aser because you're a copycat. And that's what the Torah is telling us. Don't copy the Goyim. So if there's an explanation for what they do, so then we're not copying them because there's an explanation. It makes sense. This is a nice thing to do. If there's no explanation, then we're showing them chashivas. We're copying them. And that's going to be really important. We're going to get to that tomorrow, probably, when we talk about the Heter, Shalom Malchus, and the like. And we alluded to this yesterday also, the significant role of intent with respect to this Isser, the intent of copying. You know, it could be the same act, could be Usser, because the Chukos Eim Lel Silecho, when we do it to copy, and it's not Usser when we do it for some other reason, like to get an audience with the king to be Mevat Alexeira against the Jews. Okay. But that we'll get to more tomorrow. So again, so we have these categories 2 and 3. Both Tosfos and the Ran, both the Ran and the Ma'arik agree to the distinction between category 2 and 3, but there's conceptually a very big difference between them, because according to the Ran, to be Asur, it has to be associated with the Avodah Zarah. According to the Ma'arik, no. In that sense, as we said, the Ma'arik is practically the same as the Ran, but conceptually much closer to Tosfos. He's, or Rambam, right? Conceptually closer to Tosfos. You don't need an association with the Avodah Zarah to be Asur. Practically closer to the Ran, in the sense that anytime there is an explanation, it's going to be Mutter, right? Now, perhaps there is going to be nafkaminas between the Ran and the Ma'arik. Maybe, for example, if you knew there is something with no reason, but we could be confident that it's not associated with Avodah Zarah. I don't know if there's going to be a good example, but let's take a turkey on Thanksgiving, okay? There's no reason to eat turkey on Thanksgiving. None. But we could also be, I'm going to assume for now, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm going to assume for now that we could be confident that there's no association with idolatry either. Why do they eat turkey? Because that's, you know, in 1674, they had a suda soda, and, you know, they happened to have turkeys, so they ate turkeys, right? There's no time. But also, we're now, you know, nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. Let's say we're confident. No Avodah Zarah, no time. According to the Ma'arik, the Pashtus would still be Asur. According to the Ran, we could argue it's Mutter because we're confident there's no Strach Avodah Zarah. It's not clear that the Ran would be Matir, but certainly you could make the case that the Ran would be Matir. Get a little bit of mixed impressions even in the Ramah, because the Ramah says it's Mutter when there's Toelas, but it's Asur when there's Strach Avodah Zarah, right? Same confusion. And if you look at Rav Moshe's tshuvas on Turkey, he has 3 or 4 tshuvos about it, but, you know, he hesitantly permits as long as it doesn't become kavu as a chok. But if you look at his hesitation in some of his tshuvos, you see it's along these lines. He's saying, I can not say it's asur because we can confidently know that it's not associated with avodah zarah. But I can't say, not so sure it's mutter. He doesn't asur it because it's not like it has a tam, right? It's not like it has a tam. Now, in the end of the day, he says it's mutter, though. It's mutter as long as it doesn't become a chok. Whereas once imamish becomes a chok, you do it every year without fail, then it becomes asur. I'll tell you an interesting tidbit, and everybody likes to say, oh, it's machlokas. Rav Moshe, the Rav, and Rav Huttner, and they're like, so, you know, that's a nice way to put it. It's a little more complex than that. But I'll show you guys during lunch. Rav Huttner assers, he has a theory, which I'll show you inside, that because anything that's fixed on their calendar becomes chukosakum. And I'll show you where he gets it from. Now, the interesting thing to share with you is that it appears in the Igros of Rav Huttner, and like many of the letters, there are a bunch of ellipses, which among other things makes it a little confusing. Not even clear. He's talking about Thanksgiving. Maybe he's talking about New Year's. Not clear. But a good friend of mine from Passaic lives around the block from me. Israel Feuerman. So the letter, if you guys might have known, heard of his father, Dr. Feuerman, he was a professor in Azrieli and a very interesting person. So the letter was to him, and he showed it to me. He showed me a bunch of letters. I could show you the letters. I have copies of the letters. They're quite fascinating, really, you know, especially when you look at the things that were taken out of the ellipses. That were replaced with ellipses, I should say. So I could show you the whole uncensored, unabridged Thanksgiving letter maybe tomorrow. Okay, so back to here. So good. So those are that we just read the Ran. So we said, what in the world is the Ran going to do with the Gemara and Sanhedrin? And as I said, this is the biggest problem with the Ran. Ad kedei kach, that the Gemara says the Ran is wrong based off of this reason. Yes.
How are we defining Tom?
For the Ran?
Yeah. Everything has some reason.
No. If there's no reason, then it's us. I don't know. There's, in other words, this might be a little bit what Moshe was getting at. I don't know how to define Tom, but I could give you an example of Tom. Right? And that is Sarfan al-Malachim and Mipnei Chashivusa. So if we could explain the ritual in a way that makes it clear the ritual is not rooted in idolatry, then that's good enough. And if it seems to be, if there's no explanation we could have. I think there are lots of things that people do that really don't have a time.
Meaning like, whenever this minhag started, we probably had to...
But we don't know. Around. That's fine. That's the point. We don't know why it started. We don't know why anybody does it. Everybody does it. We have no idea why they do it, right? No clue. But since when you graduate, right? So they go ahead and they tell you to take the tassel and put it onto the other side. Is there a reason for that? So you could argue.
Give yourself kavod.
No. So the graduation gown, Max is saying, Zach is saying it's kavod. So I think Zach is right about the gown. In other words, I think the wearing a graduation gown, mutter for the ma'arik. 100% should be mutter for the ma'arik. Why it's derech kavod? It's very similar to the case he's talking about. You want to show off, you went to college, some explanation for why $80,000 or $800,000 or some ridiculous amount was, so derech kavod or fine. So wearing the gown, we could explain. But flipping the tassel, so I think that's what Rabbi Shechter says. Rabbi Shechter says that if you follow the Ma'arik, follow the Ramah, wearing a gown is not asher. But flipping the tassel, there's no reason for that. So that's an example. Sedavar sheyesh bo tam. Asher l'kulayam. The gowns are asher for the Gram, not there for Ramah.
Let's say something that's in between the castle and Kashivusa. I mean, in other words, let's say 20 years ago there's nothing but turkey around. So they started having turkey on Thanksgiving. Now there's other things. I mean, it started with some sort of a town. It's not exactly
why do again, there are gonna be cases that are unclear. Yeah. That's for sure. In other words, and are they gonna be debatable? Maybe turkey is an example. So but more or less, if we can explain why the Goyim do this, give an explanation for it, and it's clear that through that explanation that it's therefore not because of Avzara, then it's mutter. Because that's what we're looking for the Rav. We want to be sure that this is not idolatrous. Right? So that's what we're looking for. So an explanation that gives us the confidence that this is not rooted in idolatry. That's what we're looking for the Rav.
Sorry, yeah. But the time is for the Goyim or for
the No, the time is why the Goyim do it. If the Goyim have a time for why they do it, so now it's not going to be also for us. Okay. Fine. So as I said, so what? What's the big problem here? How does the Ran in read Avodah Zarah? So as I said, we at least have the Ran in Avodah Zarah, not in the back on the rift is the Mokei Yosef, but the Chidush HaRan. So, will this help us? I'm not sure, but we'll read it. Rabbanan, Kevin dechsev saif b'orais, alaminau kagaminan. So he starts off with an explanation, which he's going to reject. Maybe this explanation is very similar to what might come out for the Tosfos, the Gra, or the like. And therefore, it's very important to see why he rejects it. Yesh mefarshim shatam bezeh lefi shatara kadma lahem. Okay, so why is it mutter? Actually, like the words of the Gemara says, right? We're not copying them. Because it's an apostle, right? In other words, what the pasuk tells you, it's not pshat that like because it's an apostle is a matir. No, the pshat is that the pasuk tells us that the reason why we're doing it is not because they do it. Good. That's what the yesh mefarshim say. Shatora kadma lahem. We did it first. We were first. Why is it mutter? We were first. Ve'no maspik. What does this Yesh Mefarshim hold? Yesh Mefarshim says, you know what? If there's no pasuk, we're going to say it's aser. Why? Must be we're copying them. Who says? Maybe we're doing it. Maybe we were first. Right? Who knows is first? Why are you assuming they're first and we're copying? Maybe we were first. So how could you, Yesh Mefarshim, basically say that it's always aser without a pasuk? That's basically saying we'll always assume we copied it from them, and therefore it's aser. Why? Like something to Vaisel Chumra? Why can't we assume that? Why do you have to assume that absent a pasuk we're copying them? Okay. Ela Tamanachon. So this is the correct chapter. That's the reason why the Torah asserted it. So anything that is minag miyuchad l'nimusi avodah zarah. So anything idolatrous in, some connection minhagim of avodah zarah. Again, not just actual avodah zarah, but minhagim avodah zarah, nimusi avodah zarah. In other words, that's what you say. If it's a kosher yeshbo refu, it's mutter. So, but if there's a certain minhag that has no scientific explanation, the lonis anes hanisayon haose. Lonis anes hanisayon. Again, I think it's a similar point. It's not shown to be effective. Haosa kamosan yesh bao mishum darke hamori. Then, if you follow that practice, it's awesome. So it's lishitaso, in the sense that it's only us if there's a kesher to avodah zarah, right? And more or less, if there's no tam, it's going to be usher. Presumably, like he says in Avodah Zarah, because there is a connection to Avodah Zarah. The problem is, though, he's explaining the Gemara in Sanhedrin, he still doesn't tell you how to read the Gemara in Sanhedrin. But it's certainly the case that he doesn't imply that there's a stira and sugyos, right? He doesn't imply there's a stira and sugyos. And, one of the interesting things, when you read the Beis Yosef, starts basically by quoting the Rambam, and then the Marek. No indication that he thought there was any machlokes. The Ran, he doesn't, he quotes the Marek, he quotes the Ran, quotes the Rambam, he passes like that Rambam. No, he doesn't see there be, it seems at least, any fundamental machlokes. What's strange, I don't really know, can't fully explain it, is the basis of Rama don't quote Tosfos. So we don't know. But it's the Gra, who, as we'll see, points out that there is actually a very fundamental machlokes in this sugya. And as I said, moreover, he says that the Ran is incompatible. How did the Gemara read the Ran read the Gemara in Sanhedrin? I mean, it's a parish on the Gemara in Sanhedrin. I don't know. Doesn't seem like it's a stira. Because again, he's not even quoting that Gemara of Avodah Zarah. It seems like he thought that if it's in the Torah, obvious, it's not connected to Avodah Zarah, right? But if you know it's not connected to Avodah Zarah, even without being in the Torah, it's also mutter. In other words, both the Gemara in Sanhedrin and the Gemara in Avodah Zarah are correct. And they're giving you two reasons to know why something is mutter. To be mutter, it has to have no connection to Avodah Zarah. How do you know? So there's two ways you can figure it out. Number one is look for a tam, and that's the emphasis of Avodah Zarah. Number two, and certainly like he says from the Gemara in Chulin that he quotes, if there's some effectiveness. Or two is that it's going to be mutter if there's a pasuk, even if there is no tam. They're both correct. It happens to be that when it comes to Sarfin al Hamalachim, they're both true. Now, this is a daichak reading, and because the Gemara really doesn't sound that way. The Gemara it really sounds like it's mutter because there's a pasuk, right? I'll tell you some of the other answers in Achronim later, but it's very, very difficult. Whatever answer we'll see, I think is difficult. Yeah. Matseva isn't a raya, actually. Matseva is a dimyo at best. In other words, Matseva can't prove anything. The Gemara just says, why did the Torah asar Matseva? It's like Tamei HaMitzvos. And the answer is, because they co-opted it. But that doesn't tell me that any practice that Gayim do, A. B, anyway, Matseva is in the Kasha because they do it for Avodah Zarah. And that's not where there's a debate.
There was a pasuk telling us
that Matseva. But there is no pasuk telling you to have Matseva. There's a pasuk that Yaakov brought in Matseva. But there's also a lav. In other words, what are we going to, if you go ahead and do this thing, you're over on Isser Matseva, right? So Matseva is Tosfos says this seemingly radical thing. There's a pasuk, but it's still aser once they co-opt for Avodah Zarah. That's the way he reads the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, or in Sanhedrin. So Tosu's saying, what I'm saying, though it seems crazy, let me just show you that it's not so crazy. But there's no kasha from the sugya of that Gemara by Matseva on the Marik, on the Rab. Yeah, you're gonna.
I find Tosu's pretty difficult because Tosu, it sounds like, at least the way I'm understanding the Rebbe saying, is that Tosfos is saying this is really a dumb thing to do, but because the pasuk, so it's mutter.
Right.
But therefore it's not dumb. But then why, if something's misfara isn't dumb?
Good,
so then,
good. So first of all, I don't think the kasha is not me. It's the kasha on Tosfos.
Well, but unless Tosfos mean that.
Okay, so we could. I'm happy to take alternative explanations. Just one second. Does Tosfos? Yeah. All right. Yeah. Do you have a?
Well, I think maybe Ma'arif, maybe like the Ran. I think Tosfos is more dohak than the Ran.
So I first of all happen to think that I agree with you at least partially that Tosfos is dohak in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and the Ran is dohak in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. And to some degree, maybe it's how big of a dohak are you willing to tolerate, but at least I think really what's motivating the Ra is, it's not just that the Ran is dohak in the Gemara Sanhedrin, the Ran is incompatible with the Gemara Sanhedrin. You don't have to, just one second, in terms of what the Ra points out, well, you can tell me in a second why you think, how it's compatible, but the Ra, you don't, to come out with the conclusion of the Gemara Sanhedrin, you don't have to use the words of the Gemara and Sanhedrin. In Tosfos and Sanhedrin, it's a little more, he doesn't have those words that's bothering you. And if you'll note, when the Gra quotes it, he learns the Gemara like that Tosfos and he cites the Tosfos, but he doesn't use those words. And so you don't have to, that's not important. I think in terms of the teaching of the sugya, and I think really what the pshat in Tosfos is, the Tosfos thinks, Tosfos was, very litvish, and I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek, but the Tosfos was very litvish, and so he opposed all ritualism. All ritualism is stupid. It's like the Rav, you know? We don't believe in ritualism. Even if you could explain the ritualism, if it's ritualism, it's not rooted in halacha, it's stupid. And that's what he's saying, right? They do it for chashivas. L'kach pirshri, trei gav nichukahat. Reading Tos in Sanhedrin, in Avodah Zarah. Echad, sh'aisim l'shem chok, l'avodah skochavim. Right, which again, he's going to explain this also across the board. Which is the case of Sarfan HaMalachim, and about which the Gemara says is Chashivusa. And just to skip along a little later, because it makes it clear, right? So he goes about Seva and the like. And therefore, so Masik El Dekuli Amalav Choki. Now, one, I'm assuming, I think it makes sense, that the Tosfos in Varzara and Tosfos in Sanhedrin are saying the same thing. And Sanhedrin is not Mayrech as much, but he doesn't emphasize, doesn't write that Shtus part at all over there in Sanhedrin. But anyway, do you have... I'll ask you two questions. So you sound like you have an alternative. Number one is, how could the you have an explanation for how the round would be the Gemara in Sanhedrin?
That's what Rebbe was saying. The pasuk, the pasuk in,
okay,
in the
like same thing. Same two reasons for the same thing.
No, but it's not two reasons. The pasuk is that it's chashivus or that
right.
It's.
But the problem is, but and if we didn't have a pasuk,
we wouldn't need the pasuk. It's a pasuk.
We don't need the pasuk.
The pasuk's not the makar. Obviously,
I understand. No, but the pasuk. So. The problem is the lashon of the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, if there hadn't been the pasuk, I would have said it's aser. It's not true. If it hadn't been the pasuk, I would still say it's mutter because they do it mishum chashivusa. That's why it's very difficult. It's not true. The words of the Gemara aren't right. So, you know, I tried to say something, but it's not right. Okay, so what I wanted to do is read through with you the Maharik as well as the Gra. But we have 7 more minutes, so we're not going to actually have a chance to do that inside. So let's just make a couple of Ha'aros along the way. Number one is, you know, actually, if you look at the Gra tells you that I have 2 Rayos for my Pshat, rejecting the Ramah. 2 major sugyas. Number one, as we've seen, is the sugya in Sanhedrin. Number two is the Gemara of Araktis Masana that we see that again. Number one is the Gemara in Sanhedrin that we've seen. That sounds like the only reason why it's mutter lisrof ala malachim is because of a pasuk, otherwise it would be aser, even though there's a tam. Number two is the sugya in of Araktis Masana that we said before. So what would, let's call it the Maharik, do with the sugya in San of Arakta Mizana? So the Maharik answers that question. He actually sort of proposes like 4 or 5 answers, but the conclusion, his prefer or final explanation, I guess I should say, is Pritzos. And this brings us to a point that we already mentioned yesterday, which leads the Maharik to this very interesting duality in the Yisr, right? You're in violation of Kulas Akum if either it has no tam, right? And therefore, as we said, according to my Rick, it's also because you're copying, or because there's some element of Pritzos. And that's the pshat in the sugya in basically of Arakta de Mizana. Even though the Rif didn't say anything about Pritzos, he says, well, the Rif must have meant Pritzos, because why else did he introduce red? How do you know that? And he says, as we said before, and this is sort of a very, very yisod gadol, which is that, you know, why does Pritzos make it chukos akum? And the answer is, like we explained yesterday, because we as a people are defined by our tznius. And that's how he explains, it's not just limited to Pritzos in the sexual context of the word, but anava in general, like that's why he says argumon is aser. Now, it doesn't just mean, he says, that, does that mean any like showy clothing is aser? As he says, why is argumon a violation of chukos akum? Because it's showy, right? So does that mean, you know, a Gucci watch is showy and therefore violation of chuvas hakum? It's obviously about pashchus, but is it chuvas hakum? So the answer is no. And the Marik here develops this idea that it's usher when the Jewish people, his medayik from the Rambam, his reading of the Rambam is quite difficult overall, as we'll see in a moment. But he makes one diuk in the Rambam, which, you know, is a very strong diuk, which is that the Rambam says what type of thing are usher. What type, we read this Rambam yesterday, what type of clothing are aser? Lo yulbush malbush hamiyuchad lahen. So what does malbush hamiyuchad lahen mean? So the Marek says, he didn't have, malbush hamiyuchad lahen doesn't just mean like clothing that they happen to wear. Miyuchad lahen. Meaning to say, he says, that the pshat is, we rejected this type of clothing so as to be different than them. Maybe because it's a guide to different clothing. Now, to wear such an article of clothing would be a violation of chukos hakum. So it wouldn't necessarily be an iser of chukos hakum, at least a formal violation, if you wear a showy watch, because it's not that argamon is automatically aser. Argamon became a malbush hamiyuchad lahem. And that's why the Maverick says, so it's okay to wear this cape that doctors wear because there's a tam, there's a toelas. And he adds, nobody said, we never lived in a society where the Jews like dress different than the Gaim, you know. Like wear long coats or something. No, you know, we all wear the same type of clothing. Then he says, so he goes through all the Gemaras that seem to indicate that Jews had a distinctive form of dress. So he says, Arachta the Masana, no, that's different because that was Malbush HaMiyuchad Lahem and preacher stick, and we rejected it because of that reason, and therefore, yes, then it would be a violation of Chukos Hakum. And he quotes other Gemaras, a whole bunch of Gemaras, that seem to indicate that Jews wear clothing, special clothing. He's docha the rayos, and then he says, Adarabba, I have rayos fakert. I have rayos that seem to indicate that Jews didn't dress differently. And one of his rayos is... actually, before we get to the Rambam, the difficulty with his reading of the Rambam is because the Rambam earlier in Halacha says that you have to be distinctive in your Jewish dress. In other words, it's not just enough to not wear Malbush HaMiyuchad Lahem, but you have to be Nivdal in your dress. So let's say I don't have any Malbush HaMiyuchad Lahem, but I'm not dressed Jewish either. For the Rambam, it's pretty clear you're not acting correctly. So the Marik then concedes this point to some degree. He says, yeah, you need some Malbush HaMiyuchad Lahem. And he says the point that we said yesterday in the Rambam, that maybe we're keeping the Rambam by wearing a kippah, right? Because even if the rest of our dress is different, but since we have some element of distinctiveness in our dress, our yarmulke, then we're in keeping with the Rambam. He says, that's okay. But then he brings a raya that sounds like actually there is no distinction in dress at all. And why is that? Let me just double check. Which Gemara does he quote? He's a Gemara from Me'ilah. That sounds like the only thing you need to change was your hair, but that's okay. The Gemara Chulin. The Gemara Chulin says like this. Gemara Chulin says that there's a guy, a proprietor, and some guy came in and he didn't wash the Til Sidayim. And he said, he must be a guy. And he gave him a non-kosher food. Says Magik. Well, what do you see from there? You see that the Jews dressed like Gaim. Because the only way that you could have figured out he was Jewish is by washing Mayim Rishonim. So therefore we see that you don't need to dress Jewishly at all. Oh. So now the Shaila is, so isn't that a Kashan Rambam? So if you look at the Shach, he quotes an answer from his father. His father said, but there's a Medrash You don't get the whole story from just the Gemara and Chulin. There's a Medrash. Medrash says that was Shas Hashmat. And anyone that dressed Jewishly would be executed or whatever, thrown to Siberia. And therefore, in that case, it was mutter to dress like a guy. Mm-hmm. And the way you would sort of be nicker is by washing. And that's the story. So there's no kasha from there. All right, we're out of time. As I said, if you read the Gra, very kedai. If you didn't do it, you have to go through the Gra carefully. The Gra basically, just one sort of point just to see what he's doing, is he goes through, like I said, the two sugyos. He says the Ran is wrong, because the Ran, there's no way to read the Gemara Sanhedrin. But the Marik didn't actually tell you, talk about the Gemara Sanhedrin at all. So he's open, you know, we could come up with an explanation. So he says, I'll tell you how the Marik would have read the Gemara Sanhedrin. And he does, he gives an explanation. And then he says, but it's not a great explanation. So therefore, he rejects it. Now, if you didn't read the Gra carefully, you should. I just want to give one Haaren reading Gras. This Gra is relatively easy, actually. In other words, there are not that many v'chuleis. Every time he quotes a text, there's a v'chule. But each step is more or less explained. Long Gras are easy, easy for Gras. But you should know, just when the Gra has a vowel, that almost always means he's rejecting that which is above and giving his own explanation. So the Gra will always start off by giving the makor for whatever he's explaining. In this case, let's say the Rama. So he gives the makoros for the Rama, and he says, which is basically the Arik, and he says, Aval, and then he disagrees. As we noted also, the Rama is a little tricky because he incorporates both the Marik and the Rama. Sorry, the Marik and the Ran, even though they're not saying the exact same thing either. All right, what can we do? Much more to say, but we're going to stop here. So tomorrow we will, Be'ezras Hashem, start with the Rifua Gemaras, and we'll try to talk about the sugya of alternative medicine and the like. What is Shitas Rambam? Very tricky. There are three texts of the Rambam that don't seem to agree to each other. The Ran in Manvuchim, the Ran in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, and the Ran in Perashas Mishnayos in Yoma, which I put in the Ran Komos. So we're going to work on figuring out what is Shitas Rambam. Very unclear. And you'll see that the Rishonim themselves handle in what Shitas Rambam is. The Radvaz, the Rashba, and the like. The Chus HaRashba, as well as the Rashba in his Chiddushim HaShabbos, the Radvaz, all these are very important. And also, as we'll see, very pertinent L'maisa. That's not really in Yoredei as much. You'll see it comes up in Or Chaim a little bit. I wanted to talk about it. Maybe we'll start talking tomorrow morning. We'll start off with the discussion also on flowers and Shavuos. So we'll start off with that in Shir Shavuos and Shavuos. We'll move on to the Refua issue. And then if we have time, we'll hopefully start doing haircuts and also Karv L'Malchus. Maybe by the end of the week, we'll finish this topic. We'll have to see. Okay, I'll see you all later.
You said tomorrow morning?
No, tomorrow morning for learning. The shir will be tomorrow at 3:30 again.
Oh, okay. And the shir is Monday through Thursday?
There's shir is on Friday. What are we? Friday we finish 1:30? Is that right? So shir is at 12:30 on Friday. No. You can have refreshments.
But they're often bagels on Friday. So
right.
You take three bagels.
Usually, I don't know, maybe we should, if somebody wants to pick them up. You pick them up on your way in.
So cheers, Monday to Thursday at 3:30 and 12 at 11, at 11:30? Friday at 11:30.
Friday at 12:30 to 1:30.
What was that?
Friday on 12:30 to 1:30.
Okay.